Harvest. There was a place mentioned in that song you just sang, and a happening. Did any of you catch it? A place you may not have heard of before? Mount Gilead? Brenda, you still with us? There she is. Her mother, Maisie, was a wonderful lady. I don't know if you had the opportunity to meet her or not. But as I sat and spoke to her, she told me about applying balm to her body. And I had the opportunity and the distinct pleasure to preach her homegoing celebration. And we talked about the balm of Gilead. I don't know if you remember that or not, Brenda, but the balm of Gilead is the sweetness of our Lord Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit. It is something that you can apply to your life that will settle you down, that will calm you, that will give you peace. And that's what happened to Maisie. The Lord applied His balm to her life and to her soul and took her from this life and led her on. And I believe He applies the same thing to Jane Vannoy and to whomever crosses over. That balm, that sweet, sweet balm is applied. And it's a sweetness that only those of us who have accepted Christ can understand. We have a brand new baby with us this morning. Did that baby get recognized?
Yes, I held her up.
You held her up? All right, we prayed for that baby and for your family, and we're so glad you're here.
Yes, we're glad to be back.
God bless you. And she had a lengthy process getting that baby into the world. And then all of a sudden she said, there she was. And that's how it happens. I want to talk to you today about Yes, You Can. And I said it's kind of ironic because I probably could stand right now, but Jeff says I should sit here. So I'm going to, and Sally says I should sit here. Where's my wife? She left. Well, that's normal. That's normal. Sometimes we get to the point in our life when we think, no, we can't. And it doesn't matter what condition that is. And most of you, if not all, have experienced that. You get to a point and you say, I just can't. I just can't. And when we get to the point, and you're here this morning, so you haven't gotten there, but when you get to the point spiritually, when you say, I just can't worship, and I just can't go with God, and I just can't pray anymore, it's really time then to start praying. That's why I wanted you all to sing that song this morning, Did You Think to Pray? Because see, what happens is we get all wound up and excited about what is not happening and what we feel and fear we cannot do, right? We just fear we just can't go another step. We just can't do this and we can't do that. And the fear starts to overwhelm us. And something happens and it causes us to forget to pray. We simply just don't do it sometimes. And then later on, when things start to settle down a little bit, I think a lot of us think, why didn't I just stop and pray? Why didn't I do that instead of continually getting more upset? Why didn't I stop and pray? Why didn't I do something even more than that? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. It's the Yes You Can Day, and it's the Yes You Can sermon that has to do with the resurrection still of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not going to let the resurrection go. My entire faith is built on the fact that Jesus, my entire faith, is built on the fact that I believe that Christ died bodily, physically, and then was laid in a grave, and 3 days later got up and walked out of that grave. Period. It happened. I would not be here today if I did not think that is true. And the rest of the world and my family doesn't, thank God, but anyone can think I'm crazy, but I believe that. And I've seen too many miracles in my life, and you're one of them that's here today. I've seen too many miracles in my life not to believe in a holy God and one that would do anything for us in times of trouble. Maybe God put me in this thing this morning to make a point. And I'm not faking this. I'm not asking God this morning for me to be able to get up and walk out of here. That'll happen in due time. Something will happen. Something I did, this usually happens once a year to me. I get a back spasm, and usually in 24 hours, I'm sore, but it's going away, and I go on with my business. This one's lasting a little longer. Don't know why. Doesn't matter. This too shall pass. I'm confident of that. What I'm asking God this morning to do for me is to be in my life, to indwell me, to be with me constantly, and that I could recognize that He's there. You see, there's the difference between those who stop and pray and those who don't, and I'm guilty of the not praying sometimes, right? The difference is, do I believe that Christ is literally with me? Josh and I talked about this last Wednesday night, a week ago. And I mentioned this the Sunday before last. And Joe, thank you so much for standing in the gap last Sunday and Wednesday. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. I'm so satisfied when we're away, and I know that you all are in worship with the Lord. It's a wonderful feeling to know that that's happening. But to sit here this morning, for me to be concerned about this wheelchair or walking, I'm not. I would just like to be up walking around like I normally do, because that's how I usually deliver a sermon. But I'm asking the Lord to be with me always. 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 And that I'm repeating myself on purpose, and that I would recognize that He's with me. Man, sometimes we get caught up in such the silliest things in this life, and we get so upset and so turned off about our God, and we not only forget to pray, but we forget to realize that He's there. The work of God's Holy Spirit is this. I've got a few notes jotted down here. And then we're going to turn to some scripture that will highlight why we need to realize that it's God doing the work in us and not us doing the work. Excuse me. God indwells us through His Holy Spirit. That means He literally comes into us. In the chapter, I said this 2 weeks ago, if you would just read John 14, 15, and 16, those chapters, you would understand the work of the Holy Spirit much better. Christ explains it fully and simply. And that book of John is one of the easiest to understand. And in that book, He says, if you will ask, then we will come into you and dwell with you. Excuse me. In the book of the Revelation, and I believe it's 3:21, Christ says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone will answer, I will come in and be with you. He wants to be in you and around you and dwell in you, and for you to realize that He is there 24/7, even in your sleep. Remember the little prayer for the kids? Now I lay me down to sleep. Huh? Do you remember that? Do you ever pray that prayer with your children? Some parents say, I can't pray that. It's gross. It's mean. It'll cause them to have nightmares. Well, it won't cause them to have nightmares if you teach your children that Christ will be with you always, even if you die, The children, one of their biggest fears in this world is dying. Do you understand that? Just like it's your fear. You know that. That's why we spend zillions of dollars per year trying to get healthy and trying to reverse the aging. Steve was about to wheel me in back there, and he said, well, it's one 65-year-old wheeling another one in. But you know something, Steve? And we were joking, and I appreciate that. Steve does that all the time. He hauls people around that need to go to doctor's appointments. But one day, it could be Steve getting wheeled around. And then I'll apologize in advance in case I dump you. Because that's what Steve told me. He said, I want to apologize in advance for anything wrong that might happen here. I want to apologize in advance to my Lord for not recognizing that He is always by my side. I want to apologize for not using His word that says He will get me through. He will get you through, Debbie. He will get you through. Prayed that prayer every time I was with Marilyn Gallagher. That was what she and I prayed about. Every time she came in a room, or I came in a room, she reached for me because she knew what I was going to pray with her. It was just something we had between the two of us. And our prayer was, God will see you through. He will not leave you. He will not abandon you. And in that scripture in John 14, 15, and 16, He says just that. He says, we will never abandon you. Amen. You will not be homeless. You will not become an orphan because you are under my control. You are my child. You are my brother. You are my sister. You are my aunt. You are my uncle. You are my everything. You are my life. And I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. He fills us, and if you will allow Him to, that's my second little note here, He fills us up. In those times when we're totally down, He fills me. He causes me to feel more alive than dead. And we've all had those days, haven't we? When we're so drained that you feel like there's nothing left. But if you will ask God, if you will ask Him, then He will fill you back up. And I have people tell me that it's good to come on Wednesdays because they need filled back up. He sanctifies us. He sets us aside. You're different. If you believe in Christ Jesus, do you know you're different? You're very different than the person who does not believe. You have something at your fingertips, at your thoughts, and at your control. God wants you to have that you can pray any time to Him. He's always available. How many of you know the wonderful blessing and truth in Romans chapter 8? Joe knows it. What's it say, Joe? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Even when you feel you can't pray, God says, I will cause my Holy Spirit to hear your groanings, and I will pray for you. You can't get out of the loop with God. That's how special you are. You're sanctified. You're set aside. You are that special that He says, regardless of how upset you are, and young people, listen, you're going to go through some times in your life when you think everything is lost. But please try to remember some of the words you heard here from God's Word. And we're going to open it just in a second. You're going to go to Mark chapter 9 is where you're going to go. Sometimes we run up against the wall and we think we just can't overcome it. But Jesus overcame the grave. And if he can overcome the grave, I believe through his spirit you can overcome anything the world can throw at you. That's what I believe. Jeff, I think there's a bottle of water up there behind. Would you grab one? Did I hear an uh-oh back there? Who might that be?
Brindley.
Is that Brindley? I'm telling you, I think she's going to be a preacher. She's been doing this since she was a baby. Thank you. Huh? No, I'm all right. Thanks. Famous last words. He produces fruit in your life. I'm not going to get to all the fruits. We're not going to turn there. The fruit in your life that he wants to produce, part of that is your ability and your belief that you can pray. I hear people say all the time, well, at least we can pray. That's not the right attitude. It's not the right attitude. Bless you, baby. Did you hear that? I don't know if that's what they said, but that's what I heard. The fruit should come out in you at the weakest moment in your life. Have you ever watched an apple tree and how it starts to really produce in certain seasons? And that tree grows that apple and grows that apple and grows that apple, and it becomes heavy laden. And sometimes a good tenderer of that fruit tree will take boards and put under certain limbs so that they don't break off. Right? That's what Christ does to you in your weakest moments. He lifts you up. And you produce that kind of fruit that he really wants to see so that you can lean on him on those hard times when things get so heavy. And you know what happens to that apple finally if it gets really ripe? It falls to the ground. It's done. The branch let go. It quit holding on. And it lets something take over, the power of gravity. And if you quit holding on and let go, let God have it, he'll catch you whenever you think you're falling. He's there. But you need to pray about it. It's part of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. When it says that he gives some people, he imparts to some people wisdom and faith, that's exactly what he's talking about. Faith to pray when it's your hardest time. I can't think of a harder time than the travails of giving birth. And then on the other side of that spectrum, letting a loved one go. Right? Birth on one hand. Are you with me? Excuse me just a second. The thing I can't do and would like to, but I shouldn't say I would like to, I can't not get excited about this gospel. And when I do, my muscles tighten up and my back hurts. Jeff, you better take that. Here is a story of us hitting the wall when we think we're in charge. Follow along with me, starting in verse 14 in the book of Mark. And it says, "And when Jesus came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and the scribes were there disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him and greeted him." During Jesus' ministry, and we're going to read the rest of this in just a second. During Jesus' ministry, everywhere he went, miracles happened because he was there. Because he is part of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And all power and all authority has been entrusted to the person of Jesus Christ. So wherever he went, wherever he was, miracles happened. And when it says the scribes and other people were arguing, they were arguing about the following things. And I know this because I know the gospel of Christ. I know all four of them. They were arguing about whether Christ was real, whether he was the Christ, whether he was doing miracles, or whether he was possessed, whether he was a prophet, or whether he was a sorcerer. They were also arguing with his disciples about whether they should be following a sorcerer. And they had tried to do something, and that's what this story's about. They had tried to do something, and they had failed. And everybody's arguing about their failure. And it says, in verse 16, he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" And you need to put right there, you need to understand, they're not discussing, they're arguing. Do not argue your faith with any human being. It is faith that God has given you, and it's faith that belongs to God, and it's on loan to us. And if you truly believe, if anyone asks, just tell them that you believe, and that's the end of the story. And you believe that through faith, God changes things in your life, and you can become a yes, I can person rather than a no, I can't. And in verse 17, it says, "Then one of the crowd answered him and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit.'" He couldn't talk. This man's son could not speak. And it says, "Whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, he gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid." That's almost what I'm doing. "So I spoke to your disciples," the man said, "and said that they could." They said that they could cast this demon out, but what happened? They could not. Then they brought him, the demon-possessed boy, to him. Don't miss this passage. This is remarkable what they're saying here. They brought him to him. At some point, they awoke, they had a great awakening, and they said, "I need to take him to Jesus." Are you with me? It needs to get quiet in here, because we need to know that when times are rough, we need to go to the source of power. And that's Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit, right? When the going gets tough, the faithful go to Christ. So they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed, foaming at the mouth. When the demon saw Christ in this person, the demon came out. In this same chapter, people like to use a little bit of scripture here that says that through Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit, that you can cast out demons. I believe that. But it's not the ones that they're trying to fake doing in some of these places of so-called worship. This demon had possessed the child, but as long as Christ was there, he couldn't possess him any longer. The demon knew that Christ was going to do something. And you know that the devil knows Christ probably better than we do? And so, Christ asked the Father in verse 21, he said, "How long has this been happening to this child?" I paraphrase so that we can understand it. Jesus said, "How?" And of course, he knew the answer. But he says, "How long has this been happening to your child?" And in verse 22, the answer is this, "And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." The man told Jesus, this has been happening to him since childhood. And I'm going to give you a hint of what's coming up. Did he think to pray? Did he? The answer is no. It's been happening since childhood. And he says that it's thrown him into the fire and into the water, and it's tried to destroy my child. And he says, please have compassion on my child. Did you read it that way? If you're reading it that way, you're not reading it with me. He says, have compassion on us. See, the father needs relief, right? When your child gets in a mess, you need relief as much as your child needs relief, right? Isn't that true? So if I'm turning the page, you might too. I don't know which Bible you have. But Jesus said to him in verse 23, he said, here's the ticket, here's your answer. If you can believe all things are possible, then all things will be possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, here you go. This is coming to Christ. This is submitting. This is surrendering to Christ. Lord, I believe. But help me with my unbelief. I'm so tired and I'm so worn out, and I've been parenting this child since childhood, and I can't take it anymore, and I've heard the last scream and the last cry. And this can be anything in your life. This can be your situation at work, saying, I can't go another step. Well, it's time to think to pray, right? It's time to turn your belief into instead of a little b, into a big b. Believe. 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 Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Believe, and it shall be done for you. That's what Christ is giving this man advice. And then Christ says, and when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit and said to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. And this is what you can do when you think to pray. Lord Jesus, help me through this day. I can't take another moment of this. help me get rid of this unclean thing in my person, in my body, in this thing that's holding me back. Help me get rid of this I can't do attitude. Then the spirit cried out and convulsed this young child, and it convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said he is dead. But he's not dead. What's happened to this child? He finally has something that we're all looking for. Can you say it? Can you think it? Can you pray about it? Can you ask for it? Can it be part of your daily routine? Then Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast this thing out of this child?" And Jesus answered them. And this is the bottom line, my friends. Remember to pray. And Jesus said, this kind of thing that happens in your life sometimes can only be dealt with prayer and fasting. And I'm just going to leave you with this. Because that song that we sang, "Did You Think to Pray," says that God wants to apply something to your life that you can't get anywhere else. It's the peace. It's the ointment. It's the balm that came out of that place called Gilead. It's what you can ask for and receive. But you must be willing to give something to God to prove that you are earnest. Yes, I said that, and I mean it because Christ just said it. And you need to do it between you and your Lord. It's not between you and your dad or your mom or your husband or your wife or your sister or your brother or your acquaintance or your workers. It is between you and your God. You must say to God, "I respectfully am giving up this thing in my life so that I can effectively pray to you." I'm going to prove my point. Christ wanted something from God, from the Holy Trinity. Christ wanted something more precious than silver or gold. And he wanted it more than anything else in the universe. He wanted to save your soul. And God, in all of his wisdom and through the three persons of God, said, "This is possible, but you must pray. And you must fast, and your prayers will be answered." When Jesus took the bread and when he took the wine, he said, "I shall never more eat of this bread or drink of this wine until I am with you in heaven where you belong." He gave up everything. He gave up his earthly body. He gave his blood. He gave up his earthly ministry. He gave up his friends, his mother, his earthly mother, his earthly dad, his home. He gave up everything for you. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he went to the cross, he prayed specifically for you. Sometimes we run up against a problem in this life and we think we don't have the answer. But Christ provides the answer for that. Whatever demon is possessing us, whatever is coming against us, and it's not about Craig getting up out of this chair and walking. It's about my spiritual life. Perhaps for once you needed to see this person sit down and be still. Perhaps you need to be still and listen to what God tells you in prayer. Perhaps you need to say, Lord, I'm giving this up for you so that you will know that I'm coming to you earnestly in prayer. I could go on and on about what Christ teaches about fasting, but I don't need to, not this morning. If you have a need in your life, if you have something you need to overcome, and if it's that troubling to you, and a death is that troubling to us, then fast and pray. If it's a decision that you've been trying to make for a long time, fast and pray. If it's something that you need to accomplish in this life, fast and pray. The Lord wants the best for you. He wants the best for your children. Perhaps you're praying about your children, what direction they should take in their life. Fast and pray. Be the good fruit. Let go. Let God use you. Let God sanctify you and set you aside. Be unique in your family. Be the one that literally stops and prays. That's what God had for me to give you today. And I pray it will help you in some small way as we leave this building. I pray that if you're here today and if you need to accept Christ into your life to start that journey of prayer and fasting, that you would make it this day. The things that are holding you back when you say, no, I can't, God has provided the answer this morning as far as I'm concerned. He says, yes, you can. And if you're wise enough, like this man was with his young child, he was a very wise man that said to God, I do believe, but I need to believe more. I would say most of you believe that are here, but do you need to believe more? Would it be worth your time to believe more in God, and to use God more in your life? Would it be worth your time? My Bible says it is. My Lord Jesus says it is. And He makes a promise that if you will consciously fast and pray, that you'll get your answer. And your answer could be yes, it could be no, or it could be wait a while. But you will at least get an answer. Are you ready to turn whatever it is over to God that's troubling you? Then ask that you could believe more and fast.